I am Shisada Akona Kamada, and welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine.
Greetings, everyone. This is Shisada Kono Kamada. Welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. And of course, PLEN is here with me tonight. We will go ahead and get started. So I'm going to ask all of you to take a nice deep breath, call yourselves forward. Mother, Father, God that I am, through the great central sun hierarchy, through the office of the Christ, through the order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, keeper of the violet flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. I now bring forth the invincible ring, pass not, and the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light, one to surround each one of us listening, and I ask that these shafts of light be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on our beloved Archangel Gabriel to seal them, and I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. And now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you and to humanity. And PLEN and I place ourselves in service to you tonight. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. And because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. I'm going to ask all of you again just to take a nice deep breath, kind of hold that space. Bring your awareness very, very strongly into your heart center now. Let's do a brief meditation for the planet herself this evening. With all the movement that we've been having lately, let's see if we can't ground some Christed energy into the planet. So again, a nice deep breath. Place yourself in service. Bring your attention to the waters of the planet. Nice deep breath. Bring your attention to the air around the planet. Nice deep breath. last, let's bring our attention to the earth itself. The ground, the mountains. One last deep breath. Let's all inwardly ask that Archangel Zachiel come in with the violet flame and transmute any discordant energies that are sitting in, on, or around Earth at this time. See the Earth consumed in violet flame, and watch as that flame turns into scintillating crystal golden white light. Allow those energies just to move. And now bring your awareness to your crown, and I want you to envision a golden white light coming down into the crown, using your physical vehicle as a mode of transportation and service. And I want you to ground that energy down through your core, through your feet, into the earth itself. All right, well done. Thank you for that. Good. The energies are just, yeah, it seems like every week I'm talking about the energies, doesn't it? And with good reason, because it's just a crazy time. And I know I spoke before about kind of the astrology and the different things that are going on, but just, it is just truly a time of more than just dissolution. It's like a time of destruction. And that's the energy that we're all experiencing so strongly, right? And a lot of people are experiencing in their physical, like outer world, they're watching destruction take place. But certainly that's a mirror of the inner world. And there is this destruction that has to occur in the inner realms that are locked into this polarized system. And that's what we're all feeling. And it's really just really been ramping up very, very strongly and will continue to do so. And I hate to say that only in the sense that I know a lot of people that could raise fear for them because things aren't very pretty right now. And the concept that it could get a lot worse is, can be scary. You know, and that's okay. If it needs to scare you to wake you up enough to do something about it, then I guess that part's a good thing, right? But, you know, I think the greatest thing to remember is that you came into this knowing that this would be part of your journey and knowing that you had everything that you would need in order to be able to move through it. And so trust that, you know, regardless of kind of what is going on in your world, just trust that, you know, within you already carry what you need. And as I say that, that just brought up a thing for me that I wanted to address with the group, and it won't take long other than just to say that in these moments of your journey, when you come into that state, you know, like those aha moments that you have, right? So you do processing work or you're doing whatever it is, or you're sitting in meditation, but all of a sudden something clicks and you have that experience of, oh, I see it. Like I can really see it. This thing that you have said to me a million times before, and I thought I understood it, but now I really see it. The point I want to make about that today is that is you experiencing your knowing. And I think what happens is so many people, because of the way that we quote unquote learn here on the planet, everybody moves into their spiritual work from that place thinking that they have to learn all of this. And for as many times as you tell people that you're actually unlearning things, it doesn't feel like that, right? Because you still have those moments where it's like something just clicked in and that reminds us of the learning process. So we make the assumption that I just learned that. And that's actually not what's going on. What happens in that moment is you have actually moved into your knowing, right? That's information that has always been there, but you've been blocked from experiencing it or blocked from seeing it because of everything else that's been layered on top of it. And so in those moments, you actually are seeing into your own knowing, right? Into your infinite self. And it's right there. And it's a beautiful experience. So I say that to just kind of let everybody know to kind of keep their eye out when that happens, because this is going to be happening more and more and more, where something that I may have said or another teacher or whatever, just all of a sudden in a moment, it's like it just comes in and it's like, I see it, right? And you are seeing it, right? And you're actually, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like it lives within you, right? So you're being witness to that which you are in that moment. And that is a beautiful thing. So when those happen, please, make that little correction instead of seeing it as like, I just got it. No. You've always had it, right? You just remembered it. And that's what's going on there is you are remembering that which you have always been. And just that little shift in how you view that makes a difference. I was actually talking to a student of mine today. I had a session and I had to stop a couple times during the session and correct him on how he was verbalizing something. Because what happens is that the mind, you know, it uses everything that it can to perpetuate its own story, right? And so we have to just be careful about how we verbalize things, because we'll say, I'm trying to remember exactly what happened. There was something where he had experienced synchronicity, and it was something that came up that was completely in line with things he'd been looking at, right? So he was doing his inner work and looking at certain, let's say, beliefs that he's been holding. And right on the heels of it, he had like two synchronicities where people said something to him that it was right there with what he was looking at. And what he said to me was that, you know, well, it felt like this. And he said, but, you know, I don't have any concrete proof, but blah, blah, blah. And I went, whoa, 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 stop. Right. I'm like, yeah, you do. The synchronicity is your concrete proof, you know, and I just would remind you that spirit lives in the synchronicity in life, right? It's all, everything is interconnected. So reason this out with me. Use your reasoning skills. If everything is interconnected and interdependent, well, then of course, if you are in alignment, one thing will automatically lead to the next thing, which will automatically lead to the next thing. And they all will move together, right? Very synchronistically. That just makes sense. It's when we have our blocks up that spirit can't move that way, because the ego is the thing stopping it from being able to do that. And then we don't experience that. So it's as concrete a method of, or a form of proof as you're ever going to get is synchronicity. So you have to get it out of your head again that, you know, well, I can't, just because you can't prove it in physical form here, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. So in the course of your work, you move into the awareness that your inner sight is actually far more quote unquote real than your outer sight, right? Because the brain itself, the human brain, and then the eyes, you know, can only see duality. It can't see beyond duality, but the inner sight can, you know, and that's the part of you that can experience a Christed level of consciousness is through your inner sight. You know, you're not going to experience it with the eyes. And that's a thing too, that trips a lot of people up, because they think, oh, you know, so I should be able to see fairies or have a master appear before me, or, you know, like whatever. And because that doesn't seem to be happening, they don't trust that it's real. And so then they'll say, well, that's just in my imagination. But what they don't understand is that imagination doesn't exist. There's no such thing as imagination. So look at that one for a second. I'm waiting for you to say something. She's nodding at me. I'm like, speak. But really, okay, so you're a student. So your teacher says to you, there's no such thing as imagination. Now, what do you do with that? How can that be? Yeah, I'm asking you.
You're really asking me? Because sometimes she'll ask a question and then you'll answer it. I'm like, okay.
It wasn't rhetorical.
So what are you asking? What are you, quote unquote, imagining when you imagine?
Yeah, I mean, if this is the first time that you've ever encountered that thought, that imagination is not imagination, then what is it?
Thoughts. They're just those thoughts looking to dock somewhere.
But if it's imagination, it's pictures too, yeah? And what's that?
Memory. Pictures are memory.
Maybe. What else could it be?
I don't know, when I think of imagination, just having my own recent experience where basically I consciously let go of my future self, I think there's a lot of imagination in that for, and you know, you see pictures with that too, as far as
mm-hmm.
your future.
This is true, but it's not imagination. So what is it? What were those pictures of the future self?
Needs, wants, desires. Why are you looking at me like that?
Keep looking. Keep looking. Okay, so we'll move into the space. If I say to you, you know, I want you to view this from the space of the quantum universe. What's your imagination?
From the quantum universe.
Yeah. So what creates time, right?
We do.
meaning basically. What creates time? Exactly. What creates time?
Past, present, future.
And what holds that in place?
Mind.
Very good. Okay, so the lower mind actually creates the sense of linear time by having its database of memories and experiences and then having the capacity to project out a potential future based on those. So based in linear time, there's no now moment because it's always going back and forth between past and future, past and future. Okay. What is real is that there's only one moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It is the present moment. That's all that is actually real outside of the polarized mind. Okay. If the present moment is all that exists, truly, then what is it that we're experiencing when we experience imagination?
I feel like it's the ability to create, to manifest, but from a polarized state, you know, like from the personal self.
Okay, so maybe the point of today's show is to bend people's minds a little bit. If there's only the now, and within the now, all experience exists.
Yes.
So what is it that you are experiencing?
Oh, I see what you're asking. Oh, okay. I got it now.
We did not take the shortcut. Okay, very good.
I get where you're going now. All right. Oh, so explain. Yes. Okay. So since everything can exist at the same time, then imagination would be what can exist, say, if you jump timelines or something.
Very good. Very good. Within the quantum, it all exists, right? So as I've said to I think on this program before, we talked about how consciousness pulses, right? It's we think of it as the in-breath and the out-breath of God. And consciousness does that. It pulses. So it will pulse out and you'll have an out-picturing, and then it takes that data and it pulls it back in, and then it takes the data and it sticks it in its database and kind of reprograms and pulses back out and out-pictures. So, and this is what you have going on all the time. You just don't experience it because here we're locked into a sense of linear time. So within that, every time consciousness pulls back in, it can come out in a completely different timeline, in a completely different parallel reality altogether. And it does so all the time, but you don't notice the difference. The changes in the timelines are so minute that you wouldn't witness it. So what's imagination? It's just the capacity for the inner sight to witness another potentiality as potentiality, because all things are kind of coming out of that state of potentials, but they've already been outpictured. Everything's already been outpictured, right? So this is something that's really hard for people when they first get this kind of information. You know, when the particular student I was working with today, probably well over a year ago, I was sitting with him and I had him go into meditation with me. And then I asked him to imagine a space where he felt perfectly at home, kind of what that looks like. You know, where are you from? I think may have even been how I said it. And he came up with this whole thing. He saw it. He saw the planet. He saw what the buildings looked like and the city and how people behaved, like all of it. And I said to him, where does that exist? You know, and he was kind of like, well, in my head. I was like, no, you wouldn't be able to pull it up if it didn't exist, period. It does exist and it's absolutely real, just as real as what you experience here. And that is, you know, that's a real mind bender for people in the beginning, right? You know, here we yell at kids for daydreaming and they're just experiencing another level of their own reality in those moments, right? Yeah. So it's a good thing for people to start looking at, you know, because this is something sometimes you'll, you were saying to me when you talked about the future self, letting go of the future self, right? That you can see into one way that PLAN experiences this lifetime. You could see it. It's right there, right? And the thing that you were witnessing is that you got attached to the story of it rather than being in the allowance of whatever is supposed to actually move in this present moment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't diminish what you saw, right? The reality of what you saw. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just the attachment was the sticky point. But the reality of it is that absolutely there's a PLAN who's that person. Well, of course. Right? So it does. Yeah. And for every, you know, people who really get into this kind of deep thinking would say that for every choice, because this is a polarized world, so there's always one or the other, right? And many in between. But for every choice that's made, you just make another branch. One version of you went that way. The other version of you that you're conscious of went this way. And it just goes on and on and on, you know? So,
Depends like where your awareness is.
Yeah. Well, you are where your awareness is, period. Mm-hmm. And that also goes, there's a saying that I use with people too, that you are where your mind is. And that's important. That's your write it down tonight moment. Because if you think about, and I'll use this as an example because it really is a perfect example for this. If you have a man and a woman and they're together But in that moment, let's say that the man is thinking about another woman. Where is he really? Right? So I love this because people love to get in the argument of, so let's just say the man is, you know, physically with one woman. He is mentally and even emotionally with another woman in the same moment. And the question comes up of, you know, so who's he really with? And would that be considered cheating? Right? Because, of course, people who are very grounded in the world would say, well, of course, that's not cheating because cheating is a physical thing. And my point would be, I don't know. Is that true? Because in the moment, if you're getting gratification and whatever else comes from you having an inner experience of someone else, then that is just as powerful, if not more powerful, than the one you're experiencing in the physical. And from that space, yes, that would be considered being unfaithful. And that's something people really need to look at, you know, because there are a lot of people who fall into that category. So, you know, I love you and you're the most important person in the world to me and I will devote my life to you, but I still want to fantasize about other people. So what is that, right? And that's just something that everyone really needs to look at, you know, so yeah, you are where your mind is. Absolutely. As long as that identification is taking place, which for most people does include you, right? Yeah. Okay, good. So what else? We're going to have just a chit-chatty night tonight.
Well, did you want to go over what we were discussing when we were brainstorming earlier? What was that?
I don't know. She's cutting in and out. What we were discussing earlier.
Oh, I know what it was. When we were discussing about how individually something may come up for you, but it's also what's going on collectively, and then you can attach to it. So I was giving you the example earlier about how like my schedule was so crazy and it just keeps playing over and over and over again in my mind. And then I got to the point where I was like, mind, shut up already. I already know what my schedule is. Be quiet. But at the same time, we were saying how now I'm attached to it, but it's also kind of what's going on in the collective.
Yes. So let's keep this in mind. You are, again, interconnected with all things. So remember that any place that you have an identification, you are is that better?
Can you repeat that? Because I just totally lost you. Yeah.
Sure. Any place that you have an identification running, you are tied into that energy form, those thought forms, the matrix that ties into that identifier, right? So let's say you're a mother. There is a matrix that's called motherhood that's being held by the collective, and it's built of all kinds of thought, okay? That's all been identified with and attached to the concept of motherhood. So any place in your world where you have an identifier running, you're part and parcel of that collective. And that means that energetically you experience the energies that come off of those collectives. So let's say, just for an example, I'm a Caucasian female, right? I'm not picking up a lot of energy that's coming off of the African American male energetic because I'm not tied to it in any way, right? Okay. So we have all of this stuff coming up right now. And it's bringing up all this deep pain that the collective is feeling. Any place that the collective has felt repressed or enslaved or trapped, anger, all of the really deep, nasty stuff is coming up. Any one of those things that you fit into is going to come up for you too, because you're attached to it, right? So if you're experiencing, so you in particular, you're a mother and you're a single mom. So you have stuff that's coming up concerning motherhood and stuff that's concerning the whole being a single mom collective, and it's hitting you and you're seeing it right now in the outside world. The people around you will be attached to that too. And if they are very much cycling their program over and over and over again, then what happens is that you are going to be getting bombarded with their stuff all the time. So what I was saying to you earlier is, because if you're at home, you're going to be getting bombarded. You're at work, and we know you're definitely getting bombarded there at the bank, right? And you can't escape it. So you're going to feel the energy of that, and it will run through your head, and you will witness the thoughts that will come. That's fine. And it can pass, and it's really no big deal. The big deal is that when you attach to it, now you just got sucked into it, and now that has become your reality again. And that's what we were discussing, that there is an attachment there. So the attachment for you wasn't just, you know, shut up mind, right? There's something underneath it that was showing itself to you over and over and over again, and enough for you to really start paying attention, right? But you witness the emotion, and the emotion tells you that there's an identifier there.
Yes, I totally see it, and way more in depth than our first conversation.
So you see more now?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to share? You want to share that with our listeners? Just remember, you are not allowed to name the bank that you work for.
No, God, no. Imagine. Okay, so... Yes, I am a single mom. Yes, I do work for a bank. So what's come up now is that, so a recent issue that has come up for me is that we now have a new unit manager that has changed our schedule. And the schedule does not work very well for my single mother life. And I'm actually in the process of trying to fight it right now. And now that you're talking about it and talking about the whole single mom thing, like I've actually allowed myself, in order to fight this, I've allowed myself to become more attached to the whole single mom role, to be able to actually get myself into it more, to fight it, instead of being like, it is what it is, and just roll with it. And I felt very moved to fight this. I feel like it's not just me I'm fighting for with this particular situation, because this new unit manager is kind of just rolling over many people. And so I felt moved to do it, but I can see now that I actually allowed myself to attach more into that whole, I'm a single mom and this is my life. And, you know, the fact that my schedule's so busy right now and all this other stuff, like I can see that just that little bit that I allowed myself to go in, I just totally went in like hook, line, and sinker.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And that's the problem. Because from the space of even the Christ could come in and fight that fight. That's not a problem.
Yeah. I made it personal.
That's right. That's right. It became personal.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't hear that.
It became my personal vendetta.
Oh, your vendetta.
Really? Why can't you hear me?
I can hear you now.
No. Yeah, it became my personal vendetta. Yeah. So thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure. And everyone else can kind of pay attention to this discussion back and forth, because this is what's going on. And remember, their mind is singular. I hate to bring my student back up again, but we had this conversation. I had to remind him. He said something about my mind. And I went, no, mind is singular. So the identification that these thoughts are mine and it's, you know, my mind, that's just not accurate. And as long as we stand in the space where we believe that to be real, we will never transcend duality. So right now we have an opportunity to constantly practice our understandings, right? So if you've been given the understanding that mind is singular and there's one program that is the lower mind and it's replaying itself over and over and over and you just see it everywhere, but it's only the one mind. Now you have an opportunity to go out into your world and view, you know, everyone as the program. It's not personal. The program is not personal at all. Not at all. So it's an opportunity to really move into greater and greater levels of mastery as you practice that on a daily basis. As long as we continue to, and this is where people have, and I understand now why people have bashed quote unquote processing work, because it brings the awareness very much into the personal self, right? Well, of course it does, because you need to move into it in order to move out of it, right? Because what happens is the personal self is all at play, and we hold one side consciously and we hold the other side unconsciously. And as long as we continue to push away that unconscious side and never move through it to actually witness the fear and the pain that sits there and confront it, we'll never walk out of it. But processing can be a crutch too. You know, it can become another thing that we're identified with, this thing that I have to, you know, I have to find every little teeny piece of whatever. Well, yeah, but those are all going to come just through your life experience anyway. And there does come a time where you don't need to process, you know, maybe once in a great while, something still catches just a little bit and you know how to walk right out of it. And it doesn't even require you to sit down and write anything, right? But it's a process to get to that place, you know. And I would say for people who have been told, you know, oh, you don't know, you don't need to go in and look at yourself deeper and look at your shadow self or anything like that. That's really, from my level of understanding, that's not accurate. Because there are, even if you just walked the path of bhakti, right, that path of love, all of that's going to come up for you. What's your favorite quote from Mother Teresa?
It's right on my arm. Let me pull it out for you. May God break my heart so completely that the whole world folds in.
That's right. And that came from a woman who walked bhakti. And what does she say? Break my heart so completely that the whole world duality just caves in on itself. So even through that path, the pain has to come. It has to come. Because until you see it, it's the thing that's holding it, right? Is, you know, the denial that it's even there, first off. And then on top of denial, you know, just the running away from it constantly, right? The fear of what it is holds it in place. And, you know, as, wasn't it last week I quoted, was it JFK, you know, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful because it's so true. And I, again, to my student today, it was the same thing. I'm like, he was in a place where he was really in that deep, dark, scary energy. The concept, for him was, I have no control. So I thought I built a whole life based on me having control. And if I give that up, then what am I, you know? And that's a very scary place to sit. And I said to him, now you stay in this and you confront it, right? Make it personal and confront that and get into it and look and see what it has to show you. Because on the other side of it, there is a whole experience waiting for you. But until you get into it and you're willing to stay with it, really stay with it, not allow yourself to get pulled out because mind wants to swing out. If you continually pull yourself back and you stay in that spot of, oh my gosh, like I'm nothing. I mean, that's something that everybody comes to, the moment of I am nothing. Mind hates that moment. It hates it. And it will do everything in its power to get you from going there. Right. And that's where it takes a lot. And when I say to people, it takes great courage to do this work, that's what I'm talking about, because you get into these moments where it's horribly uncomfortable, you know? So you've got the mind that's fighting it, so your body doesn't feel good, and then you'll feel sick to your stomach, or you'll, you know, have a headache, and you feel like you're so exhausted you can't even hold your head up, and all of this stuff, and not to mention that all these things are filling your head, and your experiences that your head is full with all of this stuff that you don't want to look at, and it doesn't feel good. No one wants to do it, but that's what's required. So, you know, now we're given the opportunity because of what's going on in the world outside of us. You know, I say that lightly. It's not actually outside of you. Your experiencing is outside of you. So in the outside world, it's bringing all this stuff up where you can't not see it anymore. You know, you just can't not see it. And now what do? Because Spirit just brought it right to your doorstep and it said, here it is, you know. And of course, it's not doing it because it wants to punish you. It's doing it to give you an opportunity to, you know, walk out of it. Set yourself free. You enslaved yourself here. You can think of it that way. And you can set yourself free too. And everyone will. It just depends on when they're ready. Right? Yeah. So what else? Was there anything else that came up?
We were also talking about your life is your spiritual path. That because last week we were talking about the fact that we were laughing so much. Now it was good.
PLN's cutting
in. Having a good time, you know, but we're two people that, you know, our life is our spiritual path. What? It's been happening all night. It's been happening all night. Like, I think it might be our connection. Mm-hmm. But, so what we were discussing was that it was good for people to see that we were having a good time, because a lot of people tend to get a little scared when they hear that your life is your spiritual path, because, you know, they think that they have to change, that they have to become something else. They can't joke around. They can't wear a sexy dress or have really cute shoes, you know, or, you know what I mean? Like, they have to become something else. And really, why? Because I love shoes. it's like, I think people are afraid, like, if I really was to look at everything in my life and live it that way, that I'm giving something up.
Right. Well, yeah, that goes back to that whole categorization thing that the mind loves to do. So it loves to say that this is the part of my life that's spiritual, and so I act this way here, and then this is the part of my life that's just very secular, very worldly, and I act this way there, and never the twain shall meet, right? And that's completely misguided information. It's all spiritual. It's all spirit. So, you know, we're here to experience the wonder and the magic of life. And why on earth would that not include laughter? Right? I mean, I laugh like crazy all the time. All the time. Because the whole thing is so ridiculous, you can't not laugh at it. And that's the thing that has consistently shown itself to me, right? What is it that the quote of the Buddha that I do love very much is, the Buddha said that, you know, when you see how perfect it all is, you will tilt your head back and laugh at the sky. And it's so true, because everything here that we all take so seriously is anything but serious, you know? I mean, you think about all of these things that you think are so important, right? My 401k, so important. And the fact that, you know, you got the white people on the planet who don't like the brown people on the planet. It's so serious, right? And the whole thing is like a cosmic joke, really. But you don't see it until you can detach from the personal aspect. And when that part is done, when life is not personal anymore, you know, when it's not about Republicans versus Democrats anymore, and it's not about men versus women anymore, and it's not about, you know, Russia versus the United States anymore. Now, at this point, it's just about you being love and you witnessing love everywhere. And, you know, there's nothing dry and ultra, ultra serious about God. There just isn't. Now, that being said, I would say that, you know, in the illumined worlds, if you have experience, if you're given experiences that you can take and hold from those spaces, there is a level of the sacred going on there that is very, very strong. But it doesn't mean that there is not laughter. It doesn't mean that there is not, you know, this light sense of beingness, because there very much is. And Saint Germain is a great example of that, because anyone who has had an authentic experience with Saint Germain will tell you that he is the jokester of the Ascended Masters. There's just no question. No question. And everything's represented. So again, you'll have, you'll have some masters who are very stern. They can be very, you know, disciplinarian and kind of in not cracking a smile all that much. Amoya's kind of like that. But it doesn't mean that, you know, he doesn't have his own sense of humor, certainly, right? Because the world is just meant to be experienced and beautiful. And you're witnessing love in action here. And you're witnessing every possible combination of love and action here, you know? Because remember, it's not in the world of polarization, this is where we get trapped, because we think of things as good and bad. And we lose the middle ground. So there is no good and bad if everything exists on one continuum. You see what I'm saying? If you look at it as it exists on a continuum, then there are different degrees of the same thing. So if you look at love and you look at fear, it's the same thing, but different degrees of the same thing. One is pushed way to one side and the other one is pushed way to the other side. And then there's everything in between the two. And so when you start to witness the world from that space, it really is quite lovely, you know, and quite fun. I mean, just, well, you know, you're around me. Like I can be very serious, and certainly there are times when I am very, very serious with my students, and times where, you know, I might even be a little scary to my students. Who knows? But most of the time, what you experience with me is laughter, you know, and a sense of this lightheartedness that sits there that doesn't take any of it very seriously. And that's important as you move in your own spiritual journey. You know, I mean, even your own spiritual journey, people get so caught up in that being so serious. I have to ascend, you know, and the whole thing, like around 2012, and people were all bent out of shape when 2012 came and went, and, you know, they didn't experience transfiguration, like their body didn't dissolve or whatever it was that they expected. And then they're all bent out of shape over that. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that if you're just right here in this moment, nothing outside of that moment exists. So there wouldn't be anything to be upset about anyway, would there? Nothing. And I was watching a movie last night. It's that After Earth with Will Smith and his son. And there was a really great part in that, because Will Smith's character had moved into the space where it did not experience fear anymore. And he was talking to his son about holding that state. And he grounded his son by, you know, telling him to get down on a knee. And he said, experience this moment. You know, because the son was freaked out about what was going on. He said, experience this moment. Use your senses. What do you feel right now? You know, what do you hear? What do you smell? Like, bring everything right here. And what he was showing him was that fear itself is created in the mind. It's the only place it exists. It can't exist outside of the mind. And what do we know about the mind? The mind isn't even conscious. It's only consciousness that identifies with the concept that's being held by the lower mind that then turns it into something that we experience as real. So what he was saying was that danger is real, right? There could be a situation where danger is present, absolutely, but fear doesn't have to be there, right? And he also said, and it was beautiful, you know, that when you're in fear, you're living in the past or you're living in the future. You're never right here. It was very, very accurate. Really, really well done. And that's something to keep in mind, too, as we continue to move forward and the energies continue to come in and shift. And, you know, for all of the full moons and new moons and all of that, we just continue to get greater and greater influxes of energy. You know, just use this little teaching here to just remind yourself when you start feeling a sense of fear. I feel a little panicky. I feel like I'm nervous because I don't know what's going to happen next, or oh my gosh, something's going on in the office and they're going to fire a bunch of people. And so the projection is it might be me and I need to make plans and the whole thing. Use the opportunity to, you know, take a knee, as you said in the movie, just kind of get yourself regrounded, be right here. And if you're just right here, what you witness every time is that right here is perfect. It's just perfect. Because right here, that nothing else exists. So if you're sitting at home worrying about a job, if you bring yourself present, the job doesn't even exist anymore. The only thing that's real is what's right here. You know, your kitchen table and, you know, maybe your dog sitting there or something and a cup of tea in front of you. And that is beautiful and perfect just as it is. And it's time to let the rest go. You know, spirit will work itself out. You know, you just kind of stay out of the way and everything will flow exactly as it's meant to. And so it's time for you, just like my student today, to move into the understanding and the allowance that you really aren't the one controlling what's going on, you know. And all you can really do is just witness it, move with it, witness it, be present in all of the, you know, that whole one moment, just to be present. So you think we're at about time? Yeah? Okay. So tonight we have a beautiful song. It's actually, I have a line of spiritual aromatherapy that I make called Kamara. And each one of the scents that I create comes with a song. It's hysterical. And I never know what it's going to be. And it just kind of pops in one day. And it's a song that exists out there, you know. But there's one that I created, and the scent is called Deva, and it's meant for people specifically who really want to take higher understandings, in their service to the world and to ground them in here, you know, just as the elemental kingdom does for us every day. And, the song for Deva is the song that we're going to listen to tonight. It's really, really lovely. And the vocals are fantastic. So we're going to end tonight with that beautiful, beautiful Celtic tune. And I will ask you just to place yourself in service before you go into meditation tonight and just enjoy the music. And we will see you next week. Much love to you. Good night. You are divine.